Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. It's 8:11. It is Thursday morning, July the 8th, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin, and thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and of course streaming everywhere on the planet from our website, ksje.com, and that could include your smart speaker. You can ask Alexa or Google Home to play KSJE. See what happens. It should hear my voice. Coming up in just a few moments, I'm talking to Arvin Trujillo, the CEO of Four Corners Economic Development. He is here in the studio to continue our conversation that we've been having all week about economic development in Farmington and San Juan County. And then, of course, next hour, Mick Hess will take us roving with the arts. It's our classical music program. Mick is featuring music today from Joseph Haydn. You'll hear some of that coming up today at 9:06 on KSJE. And then this afternoon, don't forget, KSJE is the radio home of the Connie Mack World Series this year, and so today the city tournament gets underway. That will determine the host team for the Connie Mack World Series, which will happen, of course, later this month, but we'll be carrying the games of the city tournament live and on the radio, so you can tune in over the air or online at ksje.com. Two games scheduled for tonight that will be broadcasting for you. The first one begins about 5:30, the second one about 8 p.m., and so check out the broadcast team tonight at 5:30 on KSJE. And don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. It's a sunny morning so far here in San Juan County, and it's going to be sunny all day today, currently 73 degrees. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, a little breezy with winds out of the west at 17 miles per hour. Today's forecast calls for mostly sunny skies and the high of 97, 67, and clear overnight tonight. And look at tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the triple digits, 100 degrees on Friday, 67 overnight, Friday night. Saturday, maybe another chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm with a high of 103 and a low of 70 Saturday night, 94 in sunshine on Sunday. And again, mid-90s for early next week with a chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm. And we do need the rain, so I'm never going to complain about the rain. Could use with a little less humidity from my swamp cooler to get a break, but it's okay. We are doing all right. Let me introduce my guest, who is here with me this morning in the studio, back for his regular visit with us because we feel economic development is just so important that we talk to him every month. Arvin Trujillo back in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be back.
Good to have you here. Thank you very much for joining me to talk about all the things that you are involved with. Again, you're a busy guy.
Well, it goes with the job.
It does.
But, you know, it's something I really enjoy. It's something that I think is really needed for our community. Just a lot of challenges, and just with us talking earlier, time is just flying.
Yeah, and, no kidding, right?
Yes. Things are just moving, and we're trying to get things up and running, and really excited about how things are beginning to turn out right now.
Good to hear. Well, and you're right, time is flying, and I guess the idea being if you're not flying with it, then we're going to be left behind. So
that's correct.
There's a lot of other communities that are moving and shaking, and we're one of them. So good to know. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on. I know you've got a lot of different initiatives and projects, and you're working with collaborations with other community groups. And so one of those is on retirement. Right?
Yes. Yes, we're working with the city and the Chamber of Commerce. We've got a team together that has been working closely with them, really looking at how do we begin to market the retirement area. We do have people coming here. There are people from a lot of urban areas, and talking with some of our real estate folks that are moving here from different urban areas. They like this part of the country. They like the rural setting that is here. And so, again, we're beginning to see people looking at Farmington. Our website is beginning to help us out in getting that word out. And so we're seeing how do we really begin to market this area as a retirement community? And what do we need to do here in order to promote the development of different pieces of infrastructure, services, support, et cetera, to really cater to the retirement community and, bring that sector into this region here.
Right. And so by working with these other groups, I mean, again, they've got kind of some stuff. I know the Chamber has been working on retirement for a while as well. And so being able to kind of combine forces, that's what you're talking about?
That's exactly right. We've got them. We've got the Farmington Economic Development Group. We've got some of the other municipalities, Aztec, Bloomfield. They're looking at, how do we begin to look at this untapped resource? Because there are people looking for places to move. We have a lot of opportunities here. We have a lot of activities here. We have things that we believe would cater to the retirement community. And so how do we bring those folks in, and how do we begin to market this area? So that, again, we allow that to happen. And I think for the better part, too, is as you bring these people in, they've got experience, they've got knowledge. They may be willing to open businesses. They may be willing to, participate with our school children and things of that nature. So there's a lot of benefits on really looking at the retirement community.
Right. And you and I have talked about this before, too, and that particular group of people are kind of valuable because they don't need a job. They come with their own money, usually, or pension or
exactly.
Social Security or whatever they got. They've got income coming in. And so that's a great group to be able to maybe have as part of your community, or
it
as a
is.
Growing part of your community.
It is looking at a growing part of the community. That's an opportunity there where they can bring dollars into the area. They can also contribute in a number of different ways to the region here. And so, again, we're looking at that possibility, working closely with the municipalities and working closely with the chambers on how we can really begin to promote that, looking at our website, looking at how do we develop a marketing strategy, and how do we get the word out effectively to individuals who are looking for a place to transition.
Right. Right. And we've got, and that group, it seems to me, we've got a major construction project in Farmington for kind of this community.
Yes.
It's an assisted living community and some of that area going on in the old American Plaza. We talked about this yesterday with Warren Unsicker. So that maybe is one part of this whole idea, is that if folks come here to retire and then need help, we will have a facility for them. But
exactly.
there's more things maybe that I'm thinking that we could use and need and offer to active retirees. And that's another part of that conversation, right? I mean, you have golf courses and pools and recreation, but maybe some other things.
Well, again, there's that aspect of having locales near that people can go hike and people can go camp. And a lot of our retirement community members enjoy that. They enjoy fishing.
Sure.
They enjoy being in the outdoors. And so, again, we're looking at how we can best recruit individuals that can help us in the marketing aspects and gain some insight on that. And that's what we're bringing in different people and looking at different areas and bringing different ideas in and really working together to see how do we best market this particular area. And how do we best attract people in those age groups? And where can we find places for them to live, and are there further developments
right.
that we can look at here in the county that would accommodate the retirement community? So those are things that we're really focused on.
Right. Well, housing was something I was going to bring up, because I'm kind of, quite frankly, surprised that a local builder or developer hasn't maybe come up with a planned, gated community that maybe, you know, folks would buy into, but maybe the maintenance is covered and things along that line. Maybe folks are talking about it behind the scenes and they haven't told me about it yet.
Right now,
but I imagine those are pretty expensive things to propose, right?
If right you're talking now, multiple they're fairly units. Expensive because of the cost of materials. But there are people who are looking at that.
Are they talking about it? They're just
they're
not talking,
talking
to me about
it right now.
Just not talking to me.
I guess not.
And that's okay. You don't have to do that. But I think that would be a major attractiveness to the community, right? To have this housing development available that's maybe low maintenance, you know, for an active senior and active retiree. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
So.
And again, you can even extend that. And I've had some initial discussions with some of the tribal mm-hmm. officials, because in that same aspect, you have a number of individuals throughout the country, Navajos who and Southern Utes, who have gone, they've left this area, they've worked in Washington, D.C., or Chicago, or Los Angeles, or Seattle. They're just about done with their career. And as you said, they've got their 401ks, they're looking to retire. Many of them want to come back home. And so there are opportunities there that the nation could look at, because they also want to come back, but they want to live on the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we accommodate that? So I've been having some initial discussions with the nation looking at, are there opportunities there that we might be able to explore and see what we might be able to do on that aspect? Because again, I do hear a number of folks who are looking to come back here, and some do, but they end up living in Albuquerque.
Right.
Phoenix. Some do move here into Farmington, Flagstaff.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they're wanting to come back to the general area here.
Right. But again, if we can get them here and not over there, three
exactly.
hours away, that's more in your area, right?
That's what we're trying to work on.
And that's the idea, find out what would get them to make that decision to come here.
Yes.
I suppose,
yes.
Which is important. My guest this morning, Arvin Trujillo, is here. He is the CEO of Four Corners Economic Development, working on a number of different projects to promote and develop areas of our community for economic development. Retirees, one of them. Healthcare is another. And that kind of goes hand in hand, I would assume, with retirees, right? If I'm going to retire, I want to come to a place where if my health is okay, but maybe if I'm getting, as I get older, we know people, as they get older, sometimes develop health issues. And so you want to have a good healthcare system, right, to support these groups.
Yes. You know, we're looking at healthcare, but we're looking at the overall health aspects of the community here. And how do we get the services out there that are required? We're looking at, you know, the pandemic has kind of changed things over, looking at telemedicine, looking at home care, looking at how do we best provide needed services throughout the county here. How do we develop core skills for some of these practitioners who are giving home care or who are in a position to help different individuals with their healthcare aspects throughout the county? And so we're right now in discussions or having discussions with different individuals who are in the healthcare areas, to getting a better understanding as to what we need to be looking at, and looking at what type of training, what type of core skill development do we need to be focused on with this particular area, within this particular area. And we've been talking with San Juan College also, their career workforce department, and they are also looking at, you know, how do we start developing programs to help support that type of requirement, and you know, are there certifications required, and how can we best develop these programs so that people can take them, and again, maybe even take them while they work, find convenient times for them to improve their skills, things of that nature. So we're bringing both workforce development as well as looking at this particular target area and determining again, what strategy should we follow? How should we proceed down this path?
Right. And all of this is very forward thinking, and you're really trying to predict the future, but you're not doing it blindly, because you can look at demographics, you can look at populations of people and the ages of people, those baby boomers who now have mostly retired and are now looking around maybe at where to go, or maybe they're developing health problems, all these things, we can kind of look at real data to kind of see where the population's going to be in the next 5 years, 10 years, what have you, to make plans for this, right?
Well, we're looking at that aspect, but also on the flip side of that, we're looking at people who want to get it, who want to have careers in the health areas.
Right, of course.
How do we also help them so that people can establish a career?
But you know there'll be a demand for those folks.
Yes.
You'll know there'll be a demand for those folks, too.
And so, again, our younger people have that opportunity that would become available to them. Then we don't have a lot of our young people leaving. We have an opportunity for them to develop a career here in this county, and they can stay in this county, raise their families, and enjoy a good life while staying in this area and having a good job in order to take care of their family.
Right, right. And again, a little plug for San Juan College. Again, look at the health science area, the health science school here at San Juan College. Lots of growth, lots of potential for
exactly.
some of these programs that you're talking about. The workforce development, some of the training, other things that maybe doesn't need a full-fledged college program, but maybe just some extra training for folks already in those careers, and that's already well established in
those
this community.
Those are established, and we're working with the Career Workforce Department in seeing how do we best disseminate this type
right.
of education. We've got now we're more versed in online type teaching. We're looking at how we can look at cost. We're looking at how we can work with individuals who have jobs. But again, we're not looking at individuals immediately going and saying, well, I'm gonna go get an associate's. Maybe they just need certification. Maybe they need training in certain areas. And then at some point they build their credit hours up to the point to where they may want to take a look and say, maybe I should go ahead and get an associate's degree. And so again, we're looking at those aspects to say, how do we best proceed down this path?
Right, right. Another area that you're working with is agriculture, and it's funny, we were just talking about that on Tuesday's program, about some of the growers markets and the food summit that's coming up next week, and so this is just more of that type of discussion, right, is to encourage more locally grown food and that becoming more of a economic driver and a business in the county?
Yes, and again, Scott, we were a part of that initial effort to bring this alliance together. We're the financial agent for the growers market. But again, the idea here was looking at diversity. This area has been an agricultural area for decades. But in recent years, you've seen the decline. You've seen a lot of farms going fallow and not in use. And so again, the idea here was looking at how do we begin to diversify the economy? What opportunities are there in the agricultural area? How can we enhance that? And how can we help support our local growers? And also provide good produce to some of the consumers here in the county, looking at grocery stores, looking at restaurants, looking at the school districts.
Right, sure.
How can we make that connection so that we provide food for these consumers? And so, again, the idea is looking at bringing the county together instead of having separate farmers markets, bringing in a united alliance where everybody talks with each other. You start looking at how you market the different produce you have, how do you get necessary training to our producers and our vendors there at our farmers markets? How do we look at combining efforts to provide food to local areas here? More importantly, looking at the farming land out there, how might we be able to consolidate and have people work together to get a lot of these farms back up and operating? And
right.
So again, those are some of the things that we're looking at in the agricultural area. And more importantly, the Navajo Agricultural Products Industry, NAPI, is also an investor within Forsyth. And so what we're doing there is we're working with NAPI and having discussions with them to see how can they begin to have more, make themselves more known here in the county? How can they work with the farmers here in the county, both on the tribal side as well as on the non-tribal side? Because everybody kind of looks at NAPI and says, well, they're the competitor. And so NAPI is looking at things, say, well, how can we become a partner here in the county and help promote the county on an agricultural basis? And so again, we're looking at those aspects to see what can we do to facilitate those types of discussions? How can we bring groups together to make sure that people are beginning to talk to each other? We're not looking at each other as competitors, but we're collaborating with one another, looking at some common objectives that would benefit and enhance the whole area here. But again, the idea here is, how do we produce a product that would generate jobs?
Right. Well, sure. And that's important. And that's kind of the focus of all of these conversations, right? And all these things that we're talking about. And so when we talk about agriculture, I guess the other thing I wanted to mention was that this is something that can work on the reservation, off the reservation. You mentioned NAPI, but there are a lot of other farms between here and the western edge of San Juan County, I think, that may have been growing at one time. Maybe they're not at the moment. And the other point I wanted to make was that the infrastructure, I think, is still relatively intact, irrigation ditches and things along that line. They may need a little bit of maintenance or upgrading, but a lot of that work has already been done and investment has already been made, so it wouldn't be a big leap to get some of this land producing again.
That's exactly right. And so we have those pieces in place. We just need to really also look at young farmers that are coming in, or new farmers. I'm surprised at the number of individuals who are finishing up their careers. I used to be a mining engineer. I know a number of individuals who were in the power plant, working for the power plant, working for the mine. They have now retired. What are they starting to do now? They're going back to farming. And so helping them
Right. Get
things back and up and started. And then also you have young people who are becoming more interested in farming and self-sufficiency. And so how do you help bring knowledge to those individuals and help them in the development of farms? And how do we start looking at opening up many of these farms here in the region so that we can begin to grow produce that could be utilized here in the local region, and maybe get to the point to where we're doing this well enough that we begin to export some of that food.
Right.
And so again, those are some of the possibilities that we're looking at
Sure. As
we move with agriculture.
And I think when we talk about NAPI, I always consider them as a big exporter of the stuff that they grow, and maybe the other farmers are more of the growing for the local community. Doesn't mean that you can't cross and NAPI can't sell to locals and local farmers can't export as well. As you mentioned, it's economies of scale, I would say, at some point.
It is. And again, that's where we're having discussions with NAPI to determine, you know, what should their role be and how can they work with some of the local farmers here? And are there opportunities that they have or are thinking about where they can bring local farmers into that to participate in some of those opportunities that they're looking at? So again, we're at the beginning stages of this in terms of discussions. We're beginning to learn a lot of things. And the thing that I like with this whole process is that people are beginning to find common ground. They're starting to say, wait a minute, we can work with you on this or that. And so again, that's kind of what I'm working towards to really get community involvement. That's what we're getting through with these types of tasks, or these focus group
teams
that we have in place, is we've got community members who are actually out there and they can talk from experience and they can look at different issues and they can explain what some of the areas that they have concerns about, but also some of the opportunities that they see. And from that, begin to develop, you know, here's how we might be able to approach a certain challenge, or here's an opportunity and here's how we might be able to take advantage of that. Or here's areas that we see that need to be changed, and maybe we need to alert our legislators on what changes are needed to help us as within the farming community here in San Juan County. And so again, there are a number of things that I'm beginning to see as we get public involvement in this whole effort.
Right, right, which is great and encouraging because you really need buy-in from the community for all these things,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, you do.
Right. Film is another area that we're hearing a lot about, of course. The Tota Theater, of course, just in the news not too long ago with its renovations from the county. The county about to turn ownership of that building over to the city, who will then program some of the maybe performances and other events at the Tota Theater. But it's a bigger issue than just that, right? It's selling our community to some of these producers and film directors, and whether it's a movie or a commercial or a television series or a streaming something, it's all up for grabs, I guess, and that's all part of this film industry, which is growing in New Mexico.
It is growing, and right now a lot of it is focused or centered around Albuquerque and Santa Fe.
A lot of investment there.
But what we're looking at now is we've been able to bring a number of stakeholders together within our film focus group here in the county, the visitor center, the county, the city, the film board. We brought these different stakeholders in, and through that we've been having discussions, and we've also been having discussions with individuals who have worked for the state. And from that, we're beginning to see, okay, maybe here are strategies that we can begin to develop and build on in order to bring that industry down here, and how do we best support that? And once we get them here, it's educating our businesses. How do you help support these film folks that come into town to do a film?
Right.
Because, again, they bring millions of dollars, tens of thousands up to millions of dollars into
sure.
a region. And if they like the region and they like the kind of support they get, they would be more apt to come back and film some more. And so, again, even there, it's going through and providing insight, maybe some training to our businesses. This is what you need to expect. This is what they would expect as a film industry if they ask for food or if they ask for lodging or they ask for travel or things of that nature. And then on the other hand, what type of jobs could we provide from the local area? What type of skill sets, such as carpentry, metalwork, different types of groundwork, things of that nature? What other things would production companies need that we could utilize the skill sets of our local businesses to provide services to that production while they're here?
Right.
Because again, they're on a tight schedule.
Sure.
They need to get things done, and so again, when they need something, they need it now, and that's kind of what we're looking at. So as we can begin to promote ourselves in terms of being able to support these production companies, we're hoping we will be able to attract more and more of them here into the region.
Right. And again, I have to call out San Juan College because we have a digital media program here that is training folks for jobs in the film industry, but it might be some of those just on the ground type of gopher, help us with some technical skill type jobs that these folks need when they come here to set up shop for a few weeks or months.
Yes. And again, San Juan College is one of those critical stakeholders in this whole effort because, again, there's certain infrastructure and resources that are available here at the college that could help enhance that. We're building that out also at Tota facility. We're going to be looking at a backlog.
Right. True.
To enhance opportunities for production companies to come in. And so again, it's going to be looking at this and how do we do this in a stepwise basis, working with these different entities to look at possible strategies to recruit production companies here in the region, looking at strategies on how do we help train our businesses to be mindful to what these companies may need, and again, providing those support services required, and then looking at workforce opportunities. You know, how can we look at small businesses being a part of this and providing services to these production companies? And so again, there's a whole gamut of opportunities available within the film industry. And as noted, they do bring a lot of money into a region. They'll be here for a short while and then they go.
Right.
But again, the more we can get companies coming into the area here, we can really begin to build an industry
right.
in this region because we've got a lot of scenery.
No kidding.
We've got a lot of areas that provide for good filming. both here and on the reservation. And so again, this is a good locale. We've got high plains, we got deserts, we got mountains. So there's a variety of sets or scenery
right.
that could be utilized as sets. And so again, that's kind of what we want to build off of as we begin to look at the film industry.
Very true. And I would say we have a lot of scenery that hasn't been seen in a lot of places, since we haven't been a film shooting location for many things. You know, people maybe recognize mountains in California or other highly recognizable places, but I mean, if you see Shiprock, you know where the film was shot. And
right.
so, and I think about Jumanji 2 that was shot here. That's probably our last maybe major film
mm-hmm.
that was here for a few weeks, as you mentioned. And I would think that hopefully folks have gone through and said, you know, and looked at what worked, what didn't work while those folks were here. It was pretty intense while they were here, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there was definitely a lot of impact on the community. A lot of it was kind of hush-hush because I know a lot of the filmmakers don't want a lot of publicity when they're making the film. But when they're ready to release it, that's when they want all the publicity, which
exactly.
is understandable. And they really can't have people driving by while they're doing their work. So I get
exactly.
that, too.
Exactly.
But that's exciting. I don't want to run out of time without talking with you about the energy industry. It's last but certainly not least on our list this morning, Arvin Trujillo, to talk about. And there is still certainly economic development potential with the energy industry, right? We can't write that
yes,
that industry off at all.
We can't. And again, we're looking at that critical word, diversity. You know, for years we've been focused on the oil and gas and coal industries. But now we're looking at those same resources, but like with coal right now, looking at carbon capture and sequestration, combining that with our coal development to see how can we still provide stable power.
Right.
Which again, we're beginning to see impacts across the nation where because of the heat, because of the availability of power, we're seeing rolling blackouts and things of that nature. So how do we develop a stable grid? And coal still seems to be a part of that. But again, how do we take care of the carbon in the coal and looking at climate sequestration type of efforts.
Right. And that's the Enchant Energy Project, at least part of it, right?
Yes.
With San Juan Generating Station, the city of Farmington. That's what you're talking about
exactly.
there. There's some other things going on too, though, like solar projects, right? We're
yes.
seeing a lot of solar projects coming into the area.
Out in the western portion of the county there, we've got two companies right now that are working real hard to get things in place to start up the construction of two solar facilities out there. Photosol and Eight Minute Solar are looking at starting operations, and they're hoping to get some things going either in the August or September timeframe.
Nice.
So okay. we're looking at that. And then finally, we're looking at natural gas. But natural gas is one thing, but you can add catalysts or you can add different production processes to that to produce hydrogen or to produce plastics
right.
or any other. There are a number of different types of products that you can pull from natural gas with the right catalysts. So again, we're looking at that too to see what we can do because as we've talked about before, one of our big projects too is to get rail into the area. If we do that, we need a good value-added product to ship out by rail.
Right.
And again, natural gas would be a way that we might be able to generate that product here in the region that can then be shipped out for use elsewhere.
We certainly have a good supply of natural gas and
we
a lot of producers that would love to supply it for any of these projects, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
And so that's one of the reasons why you're talking about that, which is great. And hydrogen, I think, is another newer kind of topic that we'll be talking about more in the future, I think, as we hear more and more about it. But
right.
it seems to really have the attention of a lot of folks
it
worldwide.
It has the attention of a lot of folks at this point because of the fuel capabilities of it. And then another gas that is becoming critical, and we have reservoirs of that on the reservation side in San Juan County, is helium.
Mm, right.
And so again, we're looking at that aspect, working with the nation to see are there opportunities there to look at that type of development here.
Well, I think there have been shortages of helium, if I'm not mistaken, and so it seems like if we've got some quantities around, we should try to maybe
yeah.
capitalize on that. But we will see.
As you can see, there's a lot happening.
Definitely a lot.
These focus groups have really been helping us.
Wonderful.
Figure out what to do.
Right, and that's important.
And how to do it.
And the only thing I wanted to mention that we talked about these solar projects, and I believe they also included some battery storage as well, because we've talked about the reliability of the grid, and I don't want folks to think that we're just going to have solar panels in the county, but no other source of energy if the sun's not shining or nighttime or what have you. And so I think both of these projects come with some battery storage as well to make up the difference in times when need is great.
That's correct.
So I just think it's important to say. Arvin, always great to talk to you. Thank you for the work that you are doing, and I appreciate you coming in every month.
You bet.
We'll see you again next month as time keeps flying. So hold on.
All right.
Here we go. Arvin Trujillo, my guest, the CEO of Four Corners Economic Development, with me this morning here on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time right now is 8:45. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.